well, this past week was one of the best camps for me. But the Lord really spoke to me during the invitation. Brother Ricky and Brother Butch Lee both talked about having a hardened heart toward the Lord. And I realized that my heart had been hardened toward the Lord lately. And so I got that right with God. And so I pray that y'all would, well, I asked y'all that I would pray for me that I would not have a hardened heart toward the Lord.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Ansley, and I know most of you know me. When we were at NGM, I used to be shy to other people, but God laid on my heart to help others, and I felt like that God was telling me, don't be shy to them. So I felt different. I didn't feel so shy. I feel like talking to people, and I will like to say thank you, God, for helping me, but I would like to say thank you, Mom, for your help, too. When Ms. Jane, our Bible class teacher, showed us a video of women who were describing themselves to the man of what they look like. When they described themselves, they were harsh and said all of their flesh. When he was done, he asked the people that the women knew of what they really looked like. I felt so amazed of that video because it made me feel who I was, and I'm very thankful to God that I'm happy who I am and that he cares for me and all of us too. In God's eyes, we're perfect.
Amen. Amen. Let me clarify a little something there for her, because I know she was kind of nervous and that broke her up too. In the girls' Bible class, they actually had a guy who, they played a video of a guy who was an artist, and he was sketching the ladies. And what they would do is they would describe themselves to him, and he would sketch out what they said, what they felt like they looked like, their features, you know, by their description. And then he asked other ladies who were in the group about them, and he would sketch it again and put the two sketches side by side. And it was amazing the difference in what people think of themselves over what others think of them. It was a beautiful, beautiful illustration. Who's next? Come on. We need to keep this moving, guys. Y'all are sitting up front ready to go. If somebody's not here, come get it.
Hi, I'm Lindsay, for those of you who don't know me. And last week of camp was probably one of the best ones for me, I'd have to say. And I learned lots of things, but two things really stood out. One of them was an illustration that both Mr. Ricky and our Bible class teacher did. It's where you have someone walking across the room who represents God, and you have someone else who represents us. And when you follow too far behind, when there's a fork in a road, you don't exactly know where to go. But if you stay close to God and you wrap your arms around him, you can't even tell when there's a fork in the road. You don't even have to look out where you're going because you're holding on to him so tightly. And that really spoke out to me because I'm always worrying about where I'm going to go after I finish high school and things like that and what God's will is for me. But I realized if I just stay close to God, that I won't have to worry about that anymore. So just pray for me that I'll look to God and stay close to him. And another thing is lately I've been going through some things, and I feel like I'm not strong enough to do any of it, and I just keep telling myself to be strong, and it's just not been doing anything. And then there was a song that I heard, and it was like, one of the sentences was, stop holding on and just be held, and that really spoke to me because I don't have to be strong because God's going to be strong for me. So just pray that I'll look to him.
Teens are too cool to kind of let it all go and to praise God, but we would go down there and sing with those preteens. Man, I'm telling you something, they know how to praise God. They do. And and just kind of teaches us to look back at the kids and to love God and to praise Him the way that they do. So that's something I also want to do. And also, spending a whole week singing God's praises isn't too bad either. Go ahead and throw that out there. So God really blessed me in that way too. Thanks.
I'm taller for the ones that don't know me. God has taught me during NGM camp about watching my temptation. While in Bible class, we were studying on the story of Joseph and his brother, and how the brother was really tempted to kill Joseph. That he really had helped me in my first year of NGM camp.
I'm going to try to keep this as short as I can, but there were a lot of elements that I had the personal opportunity to see God really work with NGM camp this year. This was my actual first time actually being involved with NGM camp. I never did go as a camper growing up for whatever reason, but this was my first year, going down and being able to help with that. And like I said, I'll try to give you a little bit of tidbit of much as I can, because like I say, God worked in so many areas this week. It was really amazing. To start off with, the whole bus issue, God working that out, allowing us to utilize that bus. We were kind of, in question whether or not to take it or not, since Ricky had already made other arrangements to get everyone transported down there. And then we decided last minute to go ahead and do that. And it worked out, and it was a good thing that we did, because it rained one day while we were down there. And being at that campground, the cabins is so spread out from where the worship center and dining hall and all that good stuff, where everything is. For the evening campfire service, we ended up needing to use that bus along with another church's bus to get everybody shuttled from their cabins back to where they need to be for the campfire service, because it wasn't just a misting rain. It was almost borderline tsunami, it seemed like, but it was raining pretty heavy, and that worked real well just to be able to utilize that bus in that manner. So it was a real good thing that we did that. The other thing, just seeing God work in those kids' lives down there, with all the different circumstances so many of them have going on in their lives, is just, amazing in itself. The first night we had the campfire service, I had one of the children in the preteens approach me, asked me about, I was able to get a chance to lead to the Lord, and that, that really set me back and really caught me off guard, just a kind of a first night thing, like that's something you really, usually don't expect. Throughout the week, there again watching, everything that God was doing, hearing the Jamal Moody's give their testimony and the things they were doing. I really enjoyed that, just because it really gave me a more of a broader perspective of kind of the Indian culture. We see so much of the Indian population here in America. And what we see mostly is, what we think about a lot of times is, convenience store owners and hotel owners and things like that. And we see some of the, we really don't know much about their culture and what their practices were. And they really gave us a good educational experience with that. And gave me a lot more to be able to, if we get the opportunity to, witness to, some of the Indians and ones that I've had conversations with, to have a little bit better understanding to taught them a little bit more and understand more about where their background, what they're coming from. But like I said, the biggest thing that impacted me was last night of that we were there, and you know, Justin giving preaching the campfire service, is just seeing all those kids that last night that came forward to accept Christ as their Savior. I know Allie had a lot better perspective of it than I had, but I know most of the front row of the preteen boys in that room that night, you know, most of them were just sobbing, you know, after the message. You know, and a lot of them were just broken, you know, from just everything in general. And I know that the Johnson kids that the Heises have been bringing here for the last several weeks, one of those on that front row was Quez. You know, he got saved that night, and even after, you know, one of the counselors, you know, led him to Christ, and he went back and sat down, and he was still there, just sitting there, just sobbing and weeping. And they motioned one of the other counselors to come up, sit with him, make sure everything was okay. And he was sitting there talking to him, and they said, "Quez, you know, are you all right? Is everything okay?" And he looked up at him, just simply said, "I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it." You know, just from the joy in his heart, you know, that Christ came in, made that change in his life, made that big impact. It was, you know, it was just really amazing. But like I said, I'm, you know, getting to sit back now and really sit back and reflect on everything that went on this week, and getting to see all the different areas that God worked in was just, you know, truly amazing. And the thing that I wanted to ask everyone, you know, having seen all that, you know, keep Bethesda and Lexington in your prayers, that, you know, God provide the means and the things necessary to get that camp finished, because, you know, it's such a needed thing now. You know, even, you know, especially in our society that we have today, you know, that he would just do a mighty work and, you know, be able to get that camp finished. Because some of you may not know, but that camp is going to be used other times throughout the year other than just NGM camp. You know, I had the wrong perspective on it. You know, I thought it was just a couple times a year that this camp would be used, but it's actually going to be able to be utilized a whole lot more than that. But if you want a true blessing and you can arrange it if at all possible, you know, I highly, highly recommend, you know, trying to go and serve next year as a counselor, working there in the camp. I mean, you words can't put the blessing that you would get from it.
Amen.
Right.
I'm Allie Zahais, for those who don't know me, and Mr. Jeff sort of took mine. The thing that spoke to me the most was missionary hour and how blessed we are to live in America and have the freedom to worship. And the missionary said that most of the people that get saved there, they are persecuted, and most of them die from getting saved and being a Christian. And I'm just so glad that we have the freedom to worship here freely.
Hey, I'm Annabeth, and as always, NGM has been very, like, spiritually refreshing, and, like, when you're, like, in a desert of just nothingness concerning spiritual things, and that really has helped me spiritually. And one of the reasons why it's spiritually refreshing is because they have us memorizing scripture all week for points for our teams, and I was walking around with my Bible memorizing verses, and I was thinking, why don't I just do this all the time? It'll, like, really, it's spiritually refreshing probably because of all the Bible that we get into in our hearts every day. And I was just thinking, why don't I do this all the time? Also, our theme was about trailblazing, and like Lindsay said, the example of Jesus being here and you following him very closely to where you can't see what's ahead and just following where he leads. Miss Jan and Mr. Ricky both said that And it really clicked when Mr. Ricky said it, because like Miss Jan gave the illustration. It was kind of in the morning, and I was like, yeah, okay. And then Mr. Ricky said it, and just clicked with me that we need to follow Jesus wherever he goes, because he blazed the trail for us when he died on the cross for our sins and lived a life of love for others. And not only that, but you have other people like your parents and your teachers and other older Christians that have already gone through some of the same things that you can ask them and get help about. And just God, there was so much more things that God taught me this week, and because he was just working in everything from the music to the lessons that we hear every day to just memorizing scripture. And I just wanted to share the theme verse: thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. We can follow God wherever, and he'll just keep giving us joy, even though it might be hard.
My name is Hunter Reynolds, and this is my first year to be able to be a counselor, and it was just great to be able to help those kids and answer any questions they had. And it was just really good to be able to help somebody else instead of just, you know, being ministered to, and I can minister to somebody else this week. But one of the main things that God taught me, showed me this week, was that I don't, exactly what Allie said. Allie, you hit it right on the head. I don't have to be a missionary. I mean, I don't have to go to another country to share the gospel. There are plenty of people that aren't saved around me that need to hear the gospel just as much as people in, you know, Africa or India. And that another thing was that I'm a student at North Georgia, and that I've always thought that if I just live right and, you know, don't talk about things that other kids there talk about and watch my language and stuff like that, they would notice and think that, you know, there's something different about him, which they might do that. But God showed me that that's not enough. I still need to talk about, I still need to be open about my faith and be bold. And I pray that y'all would just pray for me when school starts back, that I wouldn't be ashamed, and that I would just witness freely.
Amen.
Yes.
My name is Zared Mays, for who's don't know me. And the main theme was about trailblazing and how we should follow the right path, and how we should follow the right path and stay with God, and so that we shouldn't go on a different path and do wicked things and hang out with the bad groups, and that I would if you'd just pray for me that I would follow the right path, that I would stay near God, and that he would help me get through my troublings, what are going through this year. Thank you.
Amen.
I'm Tony Davis, and this week at NGM, the Lord's taught me a lot of things, like the illustrations that Lindsay and Annabeth were talking about, just with us following so close to God that, you know, we don't have to worry about what's ahead. As long as we're following him, there's no reason to, you know, be concerned about what's going to happen next and all that. And that helped me a lot, because I like to plan out things. I like to know what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen, you know, in a couple weeks, what's going to happen when I graduate high school. And when I don't have those things figured out, I get too caught up and worried about that. And it was a good reminder that I need to be following God and listen for his will and not just what I want to do and plan it out on my own. And the other thing that the Lord has taught me, which he's been teaching this all summer and he's still teaching me, is like I'm working in counseling at Camp Maranatha all summer, and one of the things that the Lord's really been teaching me is that I can't counsel those kids if I'm not living the right way and if I'm not following him. That's where the two things kind of really tied in, you know, and I can't you know, expect them to follow my example and to listen to what I say when I'm not being the right example that I need to be, and I'm not living that way. And if y'all would just pray for me that I would be able to just live the Christian life and follow Jesus and not be so worried about my future at all.
Hi, my name is Becca, for those of you who don't know me. And last week I learned about transformation, from changing from not being a Christian to being a Christian. It's like taking off old rags that are soaking wet and stuff and putting on new clothes that are refreshing things.
This past week at camp has been really fun. It was my first year as a reserve, which I enjoyed a lot, so I'm probably going to do it next year. But this week God showed me a lot of things, but one of the main things that stuck out in my mind is how unwilling I am to give up anything in my life. Like, God showed me something, and I want to justify it somehow, and so I'd like to ask you all to pray for me about that. That's all.
Hi, I'm Kendra, for those who don't know me. I just want to thank y'all for praying for me this week. God worked in my life a whole lot. One thing that Mr. Ricky said is that it's not my life, it's Jesus's, because he bought it with his blood when he died on the cross. And we want to take it and say, no, this is my life, I want to do what I want to do. And we're so rebellious against our parents and our friends and even our brothers and sisters. And God showed me this week that I've been very rebellious. And I asked my mom to forgive me. And I gave it all to God. Another thing that God taught me is... during missionary hour, the missionary, Mr. Johann Jamila Moody, said there are over 330 million gods in India. And it's just sad to see how many people put their faith in that and just totally depend on that when it's totally not right. And the only way to get to heaven is God. So if y'all would just pray for me, that I would be bold and be willing to share the gospel, because we're so scared that what other people think about us, and that's not right. So.
Hi, I am Brecken Mays. For the ones who do not know me, but most of you know me. This year at NGM, God, Brother Justin talked about idols, and also our missionary. He talked about idols too, and he said that some idols can be statues and things, and most people worship those, but other things can be idols, like some things like what we do with today, like toys or things like that. And sometimes time can also be an idol. Sometimes we just do things that we want to do and not spend time with God when we're actually supposed to. We just spend that time what we want to do with our time. And most days we do that, and we don't do our devotions, and we don't, you know, get with God. So I want you to pray for me, so that I can make better decisions and that I can spend more time with God. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Holly, and this year at NGM, I learned about fear of the Lord. How it's not like being scared of God, but it's like, well, it's like loving God, but still fearing Him. And I just never really noticed how it was really
how it really meant, but thank you.
Hello, my name is Cassidy, and I had the opportunity to go down to camp this week and be a counselor. And as you can see, God always works when we go to NGM in the lives of the campers and the staff. And so I just want to praise the Lord, first of all, for how he worked as a whole, and he's so faithful to always to give me personally exactly what I need, and that's what he did this week for me in my life. So I just wrote down a few things that I wanted to share. And first of all, the first thing I want to praise the Lord for is that he gave me an opportunity to lead a little girl to the Lord this week after Bible class. And like Jake was saying, it kind of caught me off guard at first because our Bible lesson was about King Nebuchadnezzar when he turned into an animal. And she walked up to me after Bible class and said, "I want to get saved." And so, it caught me off guard, but it was, I believe it was a testimony of how the Lord works in hearts and how the Holy Spirit draws children to himself. And she was ready. She was so ready, and it was simple to her, and she understood. And so so I praise the Lord for that, for her salvation. And also, within my group, I had four teenage girls, and it was very, very smooth. We didn't have any girl drama, and that's a big thing, if y'all know teenage girls. And but I saw the Lord drawing them to himself throughout the week, just in some little ways, but just answers to prayer. For one girl in particular in my group, I was kind of unsure about her a little bit at first. Didn't really know her background. She just seemed a lot different. We were just very different, and but I remember praying for her one day that she would become interested in the things of the Lord rather than some of the other things that she was showing a lot of interest in. And the very next day during unit time, which is the time that the campers have an opportunity to say Bible verses, she was reading in her Bible, and she was reading in Revelation about the talking lampstands. And so I just thought it was so neat to see how the Lord did shift her focus in that way. And that kind of stuff that she was interested in, she was finding in the Bible. And so that's another way that I wanted to praise the Lord. But also in my life personally, the Lord placed ladies in my life this week to encourage me and to speak truth into me. For the past year, I guess, I've just been very discouraged at times, just felt down and just not really, didn't know why and didn't know how to get out of it. And the message that Brother Tom preached last Sunday morning, if it was for anybody, it was for me. And but one lady in particular was the missionary's wife, and you've heard a lot about the missionaries. But the missionary's wife shared a story one morning for the teen girls' devotions, and the story was about Jacob, and it was a different take on Jacob that I had never thought about before. But Jacob's name means deceiver, trickster, and we all know that he does that a lot in the Bible. And he stole his brother's blessing from his father. And when he goes to Isaac to do that, and he asks, Isaac asks him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Esau." So there he is, deceiving. But finally, later on, Jacob decides to go back to his father's lands, and he knows that he's going to have to face Esau. He's going to have to face the brother that he stole everything from. And the night before, he's struggling with God and wrestling with God. And God asks him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jacob." And she related that to, Jacob been struggling and been deceiving. And he finally came to a place where he faced who he was. And, sorry, I'm getting nervous every time I talk. And it's so easy to, when I am discouraged, it's so easy to put on a front and, seem like, a victorious Christian who has everything together. But through that story, the Lord just showed me that I'm Cassidy and I am who he made me. And that's enough because he's enough. And he's given me a new name and a new identity that's in him. And when I stop finding my identity in other things, and when I stop trying to please people, is when I'll have true joy in the Lord. And so that's a big thing that the Lord did for me. It just reminded me how great God is, and just want to testify to that, that He's faithful and that He is the one true God. You know, everything about India, and Hinduism is the main religion in India, as Kendra said, 330 million gods and goddesses, and they have one particular, they have to ring a bell to go into the temple to make sure that the god wakes up so that they know that that person's there so they can hear him. And our God's not like that. He hears us no matter if the issue's big or small. And so there's no one higher. There's no one greater and no one like our God. And nobody can steal His glory. So I just want to give all the glory to God and just praise Him for what He did this week.
Well, myself stand on my tiptoes. Okay, I'm 24. I'm not standing on that stool. I worked on the music team this year at NGM Camp, and I enjoyed it so much. And I taught a Bible class with Cassidy and another lady, and I honestly did not get to hear any of the sermons this week because my almost two-year-old didn't want to sit through them, so I was walking him around during that time. But Cassidy taught on Friday, and it just really spoke to me. It really helped me. She was speaking to little girls, but I was sitting in the back, and God was working through me. I mean, or speaking to me through what she said. And we were talking to the little girls about transformation and how the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and transforms into a beautiful butterfly. But in order for him to do that, he has to struggle out of his cocoon. And when he struggles, there's juices that develop and that give him wings and give him that ability to fly. And, you know, I'm just going through something, and it was like God spoke to me and said, I'm not being mean to you. I'm allowing you to struggle so that you can become the more beautiful image that I want you to be and be more like Christ. And you can't get there unless you struggle. And so that just really spoke to me. It's like you know in your head, you know, just growing up in church, you know that, you know, God is not mean. He doesn't hate us. He's not unfair to us, you know. That's all wrong thinking, but it just, you know, you feel, you know, you get to a point to where you feel like, you know, it's like, hello, I need help, you know, what are you doing to me, you know, and, but it just helped me realize, you know, that He's allowing that to happen, you know, for me to get to where I need to be. And, and then another thing that I wanted to say, it's kind of hard to explain, and it might not make any sense, but, and I kept just saying, well, I just won't say that, but God won't leave me alone, He wants me to say it. So I'm going to try to make sense of it. But He's been working on me for the past year about truly worshiping Him and meaning what I sing instead of just standing there reading words and or reading words. He wants me to, you know, just kind of let go and just truly praise Him. And I'm very controlling and very prideful, and it was just awkward for me and embarrassing for me, and it shouldn't be. I mean, that was wrong on my part. But, you know, to raise my hand and to really praise God, and He had been working on me with that, you know, for a year, like, it's okay, you know, it's not, you know, and I knew it was okay, but it was just hard to, I didn't want people looking at me, and, you know, I just, it was just, it was shameful for me, and it shouldn't have been. It was wrong for me to feel that way. But when I went to camp, we were singing a song, and I finally just really heard the words, and really spoke to me. And I just, I mean, it just happened naturally. I didn't mean for it to happen, but all of a sudden my hand was up and I was singing and I was truly worshiping God and singing to Him. I didn't care. You know, I wasn't even really aware of the teenagers that were out there. I mean, it was just me and God. I didn't care who was looking at me. I wasn't ashamed anymore. And I just felt myself break. I felt God break me. And which is what I needed. You know, I needed to swallow my pride and not care what people thought looking at me. And so I can't explain it, but it just felt natural finally. And it just, I just felt Him break me. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Any others? You didn't go, Becky. Sit down. You need the stool?
I just want to thank, on behalf of the Johnson family, which they probably would have been here, but they couldn't make it, for those that sponsored them, and for the church that opened up their home, their hearts, to that family. I also want to encourage and thank those Sunday school teachers and those nursery workers that take those little ones that I bring in, because that's the only word they're getting is when I bring them here. That's the only God's word that they're getting. So I just want to thank you for that and encourage you to continue on. Also, I want you to realize that the Johnson family got a full week of nothing but God's Word. And may God have the glory to all that has been given to those kids, because some of us here have a complete home, and some of those kids do not have a complete home, and they just don't know if they're coming or they're going. And I just want you to continue to hold them up in prayer as they make decisions in their lives. Thank you.
Any others? Come on up, Brad.
If you notice that I end up pausing in the middle of my testimony, it's because I didn't prepare for this like my other family members. I don't want it to look like I stole anybody's ideas, but God showed me how blessed I am with how they were in India. He told us like 20% of the children there spend their lives begging on the streets. He said like if you eat half a hamburger, they beg for it, no matter if you ate it or not. And I ask you to pray for me to help me realize how blessed I am and how blessed our country is. Like, and my name is Brad Stringer. Some of y'all don't know me.
Any more? Well, I just want to say how much of a blessing NGM Camp has been to me for years now. I appreciate the camp itself, the things that go on there, but most of all this year especially, I appreciate the prayers that were going on back here while I was down there. Justin and I both could feel it for the preaching services. I left here last Sunday. All y'all know I was in a lot of pain last Sunday night, a little accident there with my knee. Monday I could not drive the bus down there. Had God not already worked and going to send Jake down there, we wouldn't have anybody to drive that bus. There's only a few of us left on the insurance, but God had already worked that out. I got down there and was hobbling around a little bit. The campground is very spread out. It's a long ways from the dorms to the worship center. And God had already worked in Jeff's heart. He had already loaded up the golf cart before I was even injured on Sunday. And when I got down there, it was such a blessing for Jeff to say, "Hey, brother, anytime you need that thing, it's sitting right there. Use it." And I did have to use it a lot. But it was just neat the way that God had already prepared the whole thing. He gave me plenty of strength to be able to preach without walking around with a cane or a crutch. I had to do a lot during the day to kind of rest it up. But at the same time, y'all have seen me preach. I can't stand still. And I'm preaching to those teenagers. I just couldn't do that. But God gave me the strength to be able to do that. And I really feel like it was because of your prayers, what was going on back here. And never forget that when we're away serving, when these kids are at camp, whether at the Wilds, whether at the NGM camp, whether at Camp Maranatha, we ought to never forget that God's moving in their lives while they're there, and just lift them up in our prayers all the time. I think about Levi and Anna up there at the Wilds right now. We ought to never forget to pray for them every day, that God can use them while they're there. The camp was just a blessing to me, and my church is a huge blessing, and I appreciate all your prayers. So, brother, you want to come preach for us?
I'm surprised that it didn't come up this year. In a sense, it did. Several of the young people said, pray for me that I will this or that. And what they were really saying was, pray for me that I will be able to follow through on the commitments that I've made during camp. Am I right, young people? You want to follow through? You want to do? I knew you did. I could just sense in your conversation there as you're sharing your testimonies that you wanted to follow through. You didn't want these things to fall on the ground. And, you know, you always look for something about this time of the year that might help these young people to hang in there. And so what would you tell them? Here you are, you've got 10 minutes or so to preach, and we preachers don't preach too good in 10 minutes. That's not what we're programmed for, but you've got 10 minutes. So what would you tell these young people that would help them hang in there? Well, I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. The thing that will astound you tonight is that I have no notes up here. I'm not a preacher who preaches without notes, but tonight is an exception because I wanted to be really free in God and free in the Spirit just to talk to you and maybe be of some help, especially to these young people tonight when they are so vulnerable and so have so much potential. You know, this morning I was talking about this section of Scripture and about how we can be wise in our latter end, but if we're going to do that, we have to start now. And after I had prepared that and preached that this afternoon, I was thinking about, well, I wonder what comes next. What is God going to say next? And so God gave me a little brief message about that, but as I was coming to church tonight, I believe He gave me the illustration for it. I was coming down Old Kingsbridge Road from our home there in Nicholson, and what always happens in Jackson County, most any time you go anywhere, a deer ran out in front of me. Have any of you, by any chance, ever ran in close to a deer or maybe run into a deer? They are all over the place in Jackson County. Deer are a cross between a rabbit and a horse, and they multiply like the rabbit. And then the horse comes in because they're so fast. But anyway, there came this deer, and this deer came out and got in the middle of my lane and then did a 180. And boy, they can do it so much better than you or I can. Did a 180, went back the other direction, and disappeared into the woods. Now, all this happened when I was running about 45 miles an hour on Old Kings Bridge, and he was less than 50 feet away, maybe more like 30 feet away. I don't know. We were really close, and that deer went pow, and did the U-E back into the woods. And I always do that. When a deer disappears into the woods, I have this game that I play. And that is, when I get to where he disappeared in the woods, I always look and see if I can see him in the woods. Have you ever tried that? You can very seldom see the deer. Maybe 1 out of 10 times you'll find him. 1 out of 10 times he might be visible. Now, where did the deer go to hiding school? Would someone tell me that? How do they do that? They're not a really small animal, and they can disappear into woods that are not that thick. At that place, the undergrowth wasn't that heavy. It wasn't that he disappeared into something that should have hidden him. There are a few trees there, and it really, you should have been able to spot the deer, but I couldn't see the deer. I've watched this now for what, 20, 25 years? I've watched those deer disappear. Now, how do they do that? They do that by using what God has given them, using their instincts. Now, they know how to use their coloration, and they also know how to stop at just the right moment. They can stop right when their coloration and the environment around them will cause them to blend most perfectly there. You are actually looking at that deer. You're actually seeing the deer, but you can't see the deer because his instincts have taught him when he needs to stop, where he needs to stop, the exact moment when you'll be coming by at 45 miles an hour in your car and trying to see him, and or where a hunter might be able to see him. He uses the instinct that God has given him. He uses the coloration that God has given him. That is, now get this, it's very important. God has already provided the way for that deer to survive. And young people, I want you to know, God has already provided the way for you to stick to the commitments that you've made. You hear that? God's already provided the way for you to do it. The secrets are all here in His Bible. And to the degree that you stay in His Bible and try to follow what God has provided for you, the counsel that God's provided for you, to that degree, you will be able to walk with God and stick to your commitment. But if you find yourself getting away from God's Word, getting away from church, and letting the things slip that you would have learned in God's Word, that's when you'll find yourself failing once again. Now, this morning I talked about verses 20 and 21. I want you to move along here, and I want to give you just a few quick points here. First of all, in your Bible there, there is a verse that I'm going to call the Holly verse tonight, because Holly talked about this. She talked about the fear of the Lord. Now, Holly, you may wonder why you got up here and you couldn't explain that. The reason is, if you had explained it, you would have stolen part of my sermon, and so the Lord made you kind of forget it and get confused. So thank you, God, and thank you, Holly, for that. Sometimes when theologians try to explain the fear of the Lord, they kind of are puzzled too, because the word means anything from just awe of God to absolute terror of God. Now, the part that is important is this. Every day of your life, you need to get in God's Word and let God teach you to be in awe of Him. And also, every day of your life, let Him teach you the terror of the Lord about what could happen if you get away from God. Now, all of these adults out here can tell you, and you can probably begin to tell now, all the bad things that happen when you get away from God, when you're not walking closely with Him. Terrible things start happening. That is the chastening of God that's designed to let you know that you're going wrong and get you back before you go seriously wrong. And so you ought to be like me. You might say, now, Pastor, you're old. You've served God for a long time. Are you really afraid of God? Now, listen closely. Yes. Yes, I am afraid of God, because God is great and terrible. That's the description in Scripture. And God knows how, as I mentioned this morning, to play rough with us for our own good. And so, when the Scripture says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, that's God's goal. He is trying to make you afraid to do wrong so that you can do right, and then He can bless you and do what He wants to do. All right, second thing, look at verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it into his mouth again. Now, here is what you call hyperbole. Brother Raines back there taught me this word years ago when he was teaching class here. Hyperbole is a scriptural device. In fact, a device that's used in literature where the writer makes a statement that is stronger, really, than the exact truth is. He does it to make a point. It's hyperbole. In this case, the writer says, there's this guy who is so lazy, he won't even bring his hand out of his bosom. He's got it hidden here, just resting it in his clothes. And he's so lazy, he won't even bring it out of and feed himself with his own hand. I think that's the meaning of it. He won't even feed himself. He expects others to feed him. Now, young people, all of us almost are born with the lazy gene. How many of you would give glory to God? God says that's an incredible... And say, I was really born with a lazy gene. Would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Notice that my hand is held up here. If I were really honest, it would be more like this. Both hands. All of us are born with a lazy gene. Spiritually, that is part of the sin nature. It makes you want to be lazy. You say, Pastor, are you saying to me that part of my spirituality is based in defeating laziness? Yes, again. Laziness will make you want to sleep late and not have time with your Bible. It'll make you want to go to bed. It'll make you want to lollygag around and lay around when you should be doing your spiritual life. It'll make you want to miss church. It'll make you want to do all kinds of bad things. Laziness is a bad thing in your character, but spiritually it can be devastating. So if you were born with a lazy gene, understand that it is your spiritual enemy, laziness. Why is it so much fun to kick back on the sofa? My sister, who is very erect, I got all the bad posture in our family. My sister is very correct. She's very correct in her posture. And she has a son, though, who inherited all of my genes. And he loves to do what she calls sitting on his spine. You young people know how to do that? Am I cool yet? Anytime you feel that need to sit on your spine, you know what is motivating that? It is either one of two things. It is either the desire to be cool, which most of us ain't, and never will be, or it is laziness. One of the two. Neither of them is spiritually healthy. And so right here, God puts this warning in. He says, look, you can be such a sluggard that you won't even be spiritual. Now there's a new twist on that. And then, verse 26, here's the next warning. He that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son, it says, that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Young people, did you know that as of this point, if you waste your father and chase away your mother, you will become a son or a daughter that causeth shame? What does it mean to waste your father? Well, that word in Hebrew has two meanings. The first meaning is to physically attack your father. Can you think of anything much more revolting than to physically attack your father? By the way, I know some of the dads around here. I would not recommend that anyway. To physically attack old dad. I have a preacher friend who had a rebellious son. This rebellious son got to feeling his oats one day when he was about 18 or 19 years old, and he attacked dad. He gave his testimony about that in my hearing about a month later. And he said, you know, dad's strong. You'll find that God helps dad. So I don't advise the first part of that. If you're going to waste dad, that's not the way to do it. Don't attack him. God will help him. And he will rise up off those creaky bones and hurt you bad. But the second thing is, the second meaning is, I told you I didn't have my notes. I forgot the word. Yes. The second meaning is to devastate your father. Devastate your father. Young people, did you know that you have it within your power, you and you and you? You have it within your power to devastate your father. Devastating. We are blessed here in this church with a good number of really good dads. I did not say perfect dads, but just a good number of good dads. Young people, you have it within your power to devastate your father. Kendra, I really appreciate your testimony. I really did. I thought that was so good. Your dad is a strong man. He is a independent man. He does his own thinking. You probably noticed this, right? He is a strong man. He's an independent man. But little Kendra has the power to devastate her father. You want a rule for living? That rule for living is don't do anything that will devastate your father. That's God's rule. If it will devastate your father, it is the wrong thing to do, though every voice around you might be saying it is. Don't do anything that will devastate your father. And by the way, you can devastate him by the decisions that you make or fail to make. Don't do anything that will devastate your father. And then it says, chaseth away thy mother. Basically, that means, Mom, I have outgrown you. I have become wise in my own. I don't need you. Just run along. I don't need you, Mom. I don't need you. I've got life figured out, Mom. Anytime your mother begins to annoy you, and by the way, I don't think there's any mother in this place who would say, always listen to me because I'm always right, always perfect, my attitude's always perfect. No mom would say that. And so there will be times when Mom will be a little bit annoying, okay? But the worst thing that you can do at that moment is to chase her away and say, look, even if you don't have the ability to physically do it, one of the worst things that you can do is chase her away and say, Mom, I've outgrown you. Because you never will. You never will. Do you know, let me tell you this, see the hair color right here? See where the tide's gone out? See the age right here? My mother still instructs me in the way I ought to go. She's 86 now. She's 86. She still instructs me in the way. And the Bible tells us that we never chase away our mother. You know what I do when she instructs me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I never thought of that. And I just listen. Now, there are times when she's told me that 670 times before, and I often wonder, why are you telling me that again? I'm trying to do that, but that's all right. Don't chase her away. Just keep listening, because there will come a day when you will give everything you own to hear those golden tones again. Don't chase away that mom. Don't do that. You need her. She has insights that are coming years that will come no other way. And then, verse 28, an ungodly witness, excuse me, not 28, 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I have another one, but I want to close with this one. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. What do you think that word instruction means? What is the meaning of that word? You think, well, it's just, you know, people telling you things. No, it's more than that. The word instruction there is the same word that the Bible uses for chastening. In a good sense, you hear that, chastening? In a good sense, that word is used for God's chastening that He puts on us to keep us in line. In a good sense. But you notice it's not used in a good sense here. It's a bad thing here. It's the instruction, the chastening that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. So what's it talking about here? Well, you study it for yourself, but I'm convinced what this is talking about is the chastening or the peer pressure, the pressure, because it's something that's heard. It's the pressure that other people can put on you through their conversation, through their things that they say, that will cause you to go wrong, that will cause you to become more worldly, cause you to become more cynical. I said I was going to stop right there, but look at the next verse. Notice the warning about scorners. It says, judgments are prepared for scorners. A scorner is someone who has a bad attitude, and they're always rejecting and blowing off in a sneering fashion the will and ways of God. They're scorning. They're saying, all that stuff, all that Bible stuff's not true. Or it can be, a scorner also can be someone who knows that and believes that, but they have developed a bad attitude. All the people who have never had problems with your own attitude, would you raise your hand? The rest of us would like to fall down and worship you. No, all of us, we struggle with it. The attitude issues there are a problem. But God says, I'm already prepared for that. God says, I have prepared judgments for scorners. He said, I can deal with that. A scorner has crossed God's line in the sand. You hear that? A scorner's crossed God's line in the sand, and God says, look, I've got judgments for you, pal. I'm gonna bring you back into line. I mentioned this morning God backhanding me. I had crossed God's line in the sand. And God said, oh no, I've got judgments waiting for those who cross God's line in the sand. Claire, this is why God... When we reject the counsel of our parents, this is why God dealt with you so severely about that, and Kendra so severely about that. It's like you cross God's line. God says, no, don't tolerate that. You're wrong on that, and I cannot let you go on because you're listening to your own voice and the voice of others who are encouraging you to reject the counsel that you're given, to fly by your own lights, and you have developed a snarly, snarky attitude about this, and I will not tolerate it. I mentioned getting away from God this morning. I remember developing a nobody is going to tell me what to do. I am my own man. There was a song back in those days. It was a rock song. It became my song. It's my life, and I'll do what I want. I officially adopted that song. I said, yeah, it's my life. I'll do what I want. I'll think what I want. Show me I'm wrong. And for about 3.5 years, that was my song. I adopted it. And then God said, okay, pal, I've given you some space to repent. Now, pow! Judgments are prepared for the back of scorners. Those who have those attitude issues, judgments are prepared for. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I know we've had a little bit longer service, always do. Young people did a great job of keeping things precise and good, and I've tried to preach briefly myself. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to something you heard. These young people did some pretty good preaching tonight. Pretty good preaching. You've heard the Word of God as well. Just want to give you a chance to respond. Father, help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name.